In the south of France, not far from the Italian border, is a small mountain village called Roquebrune. It is largely known in our time for three reasons. Winston Churchill liked to set up his easel and paint there. The great architect Le Corbusier is buried there. And William Butler Yeats died while convalescing there in 1939. Thus ended a life that began in Sandy Mount, a Dublin suburb, and transformed the very character of Irish poetry and drama through the first third of the 20th century, and, for that matter, forever. Yeats came to world attention slowly. True, he always wanted to be the king of cats, as he said, the best of all poets, and to be recognized as such. Like Joyce, he wanted to forge the conscience of his race in the smithy of his own soul. Unlike Joyce, who did his forging away from Ireland by choice all his life, Yeats was a stayer, a remainer. Although educated in England, he spent his summers in Sligo, and it was the atmosphere of Sligo that shaped not only his early poems, but remained as a sure thread in his poetry for the rest of his long life. The early poems of Yeats show the influence of the Pre-Raphaelites. They celebrate the Ireland of legend and myth, of past heroes and old battles, of nostalgia and dreams. This was the Ireland that an Irish lyric poet like Thomas Moore could sing of in poems like Bendemeer's Stream or The Last Rose of Summer in the early part of the 19th century. In the latter half, Yeats perpetuated the same melody in a poem called The Lake Isle of Innisfree.
I will arise and go now and go to Innisfree, and a small cabin build there of clay and wattles made. 9 bean rows will I have there, a hive for the honey bee, and live alone in the bee-loud glade. And I shall have some peace there, for peace comes dropping slow, dropping from the veils of the morning to where the cricket sings, there midnight all a glimmer, and noon a purple glow, an evening full of the linnet's wings. I will arise and go now, for always, night and day, I hear lake water lapping with low sounds by the shore. While I stand on the roadway or on the pavement's gray, I hear it in the deep heart's core.
This type of melancholy and nostalgia lent itself to love poetry. And some of Yeats's love poems are among the most lilting and the most touching ever written by anybody, anywhere. Even those who concede that Yeats's best poems were written between the ages of 50 and 74, an achievement that is almost unheard of in the life of any poet in any era, even these people cannot long ignore the seductive beauty of these early love poems. Here's one of them titled, He Wishes for the Cloths of Heaven from the Wind Among the Reeds, published in 1899. It is part of a complete cycle of love poems in which the lover has no credentials and no defenses except what he has in his heart.
Had I the heaven's embroidered cloths and wrought with golden and silver light, the blue and the dim and the dark cloths of night and light and the half-light, I would spread my cloths under your feet. But I, being poor, have only my dreams. I have spread my dreams under your feet. Tread softly, because you tread on my dreams.
Among Yeats's early poems are numerous ballads or stories in verse. Some of these are the Ballad of Father O'Hart, the Ballad of Moll McGee, the Ballad of the Fox Hunter, and others. In a poem called The Host of the Air, Yeats combines a melancholy and a mysterious tone. The effect is not so much macabre as it is haunting, a lingering sadness that continues even after the poem ends.
O'Driscoll drove with a song, the wild duck and the drake, from the tall and the tufted reeds of the drear Heart Lake. And he saw how the reeds grew dark at the coming of night tide and dreamed of the long, dim hair of Bridget, his bride. He heard while he sang and dreamed a piper piping away, and never was piping so sad, and never was piping so gay. And he saw young men and young girls who danced on a level place, and Bridget, his bride, among them with a sad and a gay face. The dancers crowded about him, and many a sweet thing said. And a young man brought him red wine, and a young girl white bread. And Bridget drew him by the sleeve away from the merry bands to old men playing at cards with the twinkling of ancient hands. The bread and the wine had a doom, for these were the host of the air. He sat and played in a dream of her long, dim hair. He played with the merry old men and thought not of evil chance until one bore Bridget, his bride, away from the merry dance. He bore her away in his arms, the handsomest young man there, and his neck and his breast and his arms were drowned in her long, dim hair. O'Driscoll scattered the cards and out of his dream awoke. Old men and young girls were gone, like a drifting smoke. But he heard high up in the air a piper piping away. Never was piping so sad, and never was piping so gay.